This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Your Lordship here tonight. We say, come, have your way in the midst of your people. Let nothing stand in your way today. Let no flesh stand in your way today. You will get all the glory in this place tonight. We give you glory. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. Amen. We may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Can you welcome someone to your left and to your right? It's been an awesome journey from the beginning of this fast. In the course of this week, God intends to break curses in your life. We have been on the subject of spiritual warfare, and we began to see some of the doorways that the enemy gain advantage over us in this warfare. We saw the areas where he is able to secure openings into our lives. And one of such openings that we have been looking at has been the opening where the enemy brings influence on us to make us violate the laws of God so that he can use that as a legitimate ground against us. From tonight, we are going to go further on that subject, but we are going to move to the next area the enemy finds occasion against us. And so we are going to begin to look at the subject of curses. Curses. Curses are one of the major areas that we experience supernatural warfare, spiritual warfare. The subject of curses is not a new subject. It's a subject that there's so much volume of material on. There's so much teaching that had gone on the issue of curses. There's so much discussion, there's so much insight that had come on the subject of curses over the years in the body of Christ. And the average believer is not ignorant about some perspective on the issue of curses. But in spite of the volume of material available on this subject, we still have people who are, to some degree, in denial of it. There are people who fall into the category of those who don't even believe that a curse is a real thing that could actually impact the life of an individual. For such people, they believe that when people talk about curses, they are just making excuses for laziness. When people talk about curses, they are just making excuses for lack of hard work. Back in the days when we were in the university, we have people who seem to be doing well in their academics, and they believe that every other person that is failing is only on one reason, and the reason is they are not serious with their studies. So when their colleagues walk up to them to tell them that, look, I have really worked hard, I have studied so hard, I have read so hard, I have had so many sleepless nights, and yet when I got into the hall in the middle of the exam, my mind went blank. They find very sophisticated, very intelligent ways to explain away the reality of these experiences. I remember I had a roommate from my 100 level. When we got into the second semester, the result of the first semester were late in coming. Back in the days, these things take so long that sometimes you have to go into the next year before results of previous years will come up. When the 100 level results came out eventually, we were in 200 level at the time, and in first semester we're taking about between 8 to 10 courses, but when the results came out, this guy had 6 carryovers in the first semester of our first year in the university. In the second semester, he had about 7 carryovers. Now, if that is all the information I gave you, for some of you who believe that people need to work hard, and if you work hard, it's inevitable for you to succeed in life, that will be your conclusion. So let me give you a little bit more insight about the person I'm talking about. This is how his day normally goes. When we wake up in the morning, probably around 6 a.m., we put ourselves together for class and leave for lecture. The lecture takes us through the most of the day. When the lectures are over, depending on how many lectures we have in a day, once the lecture is over, while the rest of us are going back to the hostel to rest, this guy goes to the library to read. He will read until the time the library closes, somewhere around 9 p.m., between 9 to 10 p.m. thereabout. When he leaves the library, he will go to the class to go and continue reading. He will read till somewhere around 11 to 12 a.m., that is when he comes to the room for the first time in the day. By the time he arrives in the room and he drops his bag, he gets his pot, he gets his food stuff. If he's cooking rice and beans, for example, he will measure the cup of rice, measure the beans, get the seasoning, the Maggi, you measure the right quantity of salt, pour. You'll get the right quantity of oil, pour. He will get everything that will be needed to participate in that food. All at the same time, he will pour it and pour the right quantity of water and stir everything, cover it, and place it on the fire. This is not because he doesn't know how to cook. The reason he used this method is because he doesn't have time to dedicate to the cooking. So he can't just put water on the fire, put rice, allow it to parboil, and be waiting for the right time to put the next thing. He doesn't have that time. So he puts all the ingredients at the same time, place it on the fire, and set his stove at the right heat temperature. And then he goes to his desk to continue reading. That is where he will be. Sometimes out of exhaustion, he will collapse and fall asleep. And then when the food gets ready and is burning, we will go and help him turn off the stove and wake him. And then he goes, eat his first meal for the day. As at this time, it's already somewhere around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. And then from that 3 a.m., he tries to catch a little sleep and then gets up before every one of us that wakes up by 6 a.m. And this is his routine from Monday to Friday. The days we don't have lecture, he just gets himself ready in the morning and goes straight to the library until the library closes. By weekends, he just goes to the class and read throughout and come back at the same time, I'm telling you, to have his first meal for the day. On Sunday, we'll all go to church. After service, and we all come back from church, he goes back to the class to read until that time that he comes. So tell me, how can you be more hardworking than this individual? And then in his first semester, he bags 6 carryovers. He fails 6 courses. For our international audience who don't understand what carryover means. Carryover means you fail the course and you need to repeat it in the next opportunity that the courses are available. He works really hard. He is not daft. For crying out loud, he wrote WAEC by himself. He wrote the JAMB by himself to get the offer of admission into electrical electronics department. And this is his experience. So while he's just starting, he already has a backlog. So he already knows that he has an extra year already. I can keep going on and on only in the area of academics. I have friends, I have classmates. I also experienced it myself. Whereby an exam is approaching, a particular course I will never forget. This course, I had studied it so well. I had gotten my friends. And I had a grace back in the days while in school. I don't know how I do it, but I'm able to profile a lecturer and know how he processes and know how he can set his exam. So my classmates, my friends used to meet me. Which area should we read? I would tell them, read this, don't bother with this. Sometimes I even predict the questions and they come out. So I sat some of my friends down and I predicted some questions in electronics. I taught them the exercise. We went over it over and over and over again until they understood it the night before. Then by dawn the next morning, we went into the exams, and it was those exact questions I had taught them the night before that showed up in the question paper. And while they were all in the hall smiling, they were all raising their head and giving me thumbs up, and it was already a walkover for them. And that particular exam, I carried it over. That is, I failed it. Because while I was in the hall, a mysterious experience came upon me where basic mathematical operations that we should have learned in maybe somewhere in JS3, I don't know how to manipulate them again in an engineering 300 level examination. And then I will write, and then I start having phobia that this calculation I have done, is it correct? I will double check and triple check and quadruple check. And that's how time was going. And then when I will write it, where I know that the answer for this is 3, my hand will write 2. Then I'll say, no, it's not 2, it's 3. I will correct it to 3. Then it will look too rough. I will cross it and I will write it. And before I know, I'll say, no, this page is too rough. I will cross the entire page. I'll say, what is going on? I will start it all over and it will keep going like that. And then they'll say, 10 minutes more. So you are going to fail, not because you don't know what the question is, but there is something else playing out, wasting your time, ensuring that you don't get to deliver what you are required. And so is this the kind of person you will tell him that, work hard, read hard. The general counsel, the general advice doesn't apply. Because there is a fall that has come to make a mess of your life. And this is just one example to the myriad of cases that people go through every day of their life. You see someone very hardworking, shows up very early for work, leaves after the close of work, dedicated to duty. A sister was sharing with me some few years ago how that she's so committed to her work in her workplace. She's a banker. And on cases that they are going to be doing evaluations, key performance indicators, things that should be used as a major marker for promotion, on those kinds of issues, she will see herself making blunders. Everybody knows her to be very hardworking, to be very dedicated. Her immediate line manager knows her to be very dedicated. But when it comes to the time that they are to do evaluation, she will start blundering her job that she knows so well. And then she will begin to run the risk of losing the job. And this is the story of so many lives. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, believers are not spared in these lives' experiences. This is one of the major areas of spiritual warfare. And that is why, as we look at channels, areas where the enemy finds an occasion against us, it becomes important that we review our understanding on the subject of curses again. Now, the first thing I want to say about curses tonight is to let you know that a curse is not merely a negative wish that somebody can wish another person, or where someone gets angry and insults and tell the person it will not be well with you, such and such evil will happen to you, or you just wish that something evil happened to someone. That is not what a curse is. A curse is not a mere wish. A curse is not just a lame utterance expressed out of displeasure. A curse goes way beyond that. So let's go to the very beginning where the concept of curse was introduced the first time. Give me Genesis chapter 3. We'll begin from verse 9. Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto a dam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The first time the idea of curse was introduced, it was not a mere wish for a negative experience to happen to somebody. The way that same personality used his voice to say, light be, and there was light. It was that same personality that used that same utterance to say, cursed art thou above all the cattle. This is what I want you to understand about the nature of a curse. When you see what God said in comparison, you will realize that it is possible for us to infer that the way cattle look like. Give me that verse where God cursed the serpent. All right. He said, because thou hast done this, cursed art thou above all cattle and above every beast of the field. This was what God compared to the cattle and the beast of the field. When the category of animals referred to as cattle are mentioned, what is the shape that comes to your mind? Huh? Cow. All these animals that go in herd, isn't it? So if God say, cursed art thou above all cattle, that should give you an idea that it's possible that the serpent probably had four limbs. Are you with me? He said, cursed art thou above every beast of the field. That gives you an idea that possibly the serpent had the shape that most of the beasts of the field have. They go on all four. But the moment that utterance was pronounced, there was an inherent power that is self-actualizing that actualize the idea expressed in that utterance and the nature, the form of the serpent instantly. When he said, on your belly you will go. Whatever shape it had before, it was compelled. That is to tell you that what is called a curse has creative ability to actualize the ideas it carries. So a curse is not just a mere statement. A curse is not just a mere wish. A curse is a very powerful thing. According to Derek Prince, he said, a curse is a vehicle for supernatural power. A curse is a vehicle for what? Supernatural power. And it's usually conveyed in words that are either written or spoken or imagined. So when they are pronounced or when they are written, they are not mere ideas. They carry inherent capacity to actualize what was declared or what was written. If you go into the Old Testament, you will see where among the Levitical laws that if a man becomes jealous and he begins to suspect his wife of being unfaithful to him, and he feels there is a legitimate reason why he suspects his wife, the only way to settle that conflict is that he would take his wife to the priest. And the priest is going to copy out some of the curses. He will write it out on a parchment. And then after writing out the curses on a parchment, he will wash it into a cup. He will wash it from the parchment into a cup. And then give the woman to drink. When she drinks it, if she is innocent, nothing will happen to her. And the man loses every right to ever accuse her again. But if she is guilty, as the husband suspects, there will be devastating consequences. The things that were written in those curses will happen to the woman. So a curse is not just an empty threat. A curse carries supernatural power to actualize what it has been declared to do, what it has been pronounced to do. Hallelujah. A curse is a supernatural thing, and it's the opposite of a blessing. Tonight we are going to pray because God is going to break a lot of curses from people's lives. Another dangerous thing about a curse is that curses are stronger where there are ignorance. You don't even need to be aware of it for it to work. Regardless of whether you are aware of it or you are ignorant of it, it does not impact in the slightest way on its potency. As a matter of fact, if you are ignorant, that is when it will even work more. It's even more powerful when you are not even aware of it. If you are in denial of it, it will not change the effect. And this is the reason why mere positive thinking is useless, is powerless in the face of a curse. Are we together? So wherever there is a curse in operation and you just wish it away, or you say don't believe those things, don't put your mind on them. If you put your mind on them, that is when they will happen. That is what a curse loves the most. Because a curse is not just a mere idea. It has a supernatural backing that makes it come to pass, that actualizes it. Spirits are involved in carrying out a curse. And most often than not, if the forces implementing the curse in a person's life really want to keep the person in bondage, it will try to discourage the person from even trying to understand or notice it or give attention to it or study it. So a curse is a powerful supernatural reality. Now there are several channels that a curse can be introduced into the life of an individual. I want to share about five with us, but tonight we'll pick the first one. If we're able to deal with it in a short time, we'll add more. But because we couldn't pray much last night, I really have us to pray today. So I'll just pick the first one. If you look at the passage where we read, you will notice that the very first time curse was introduced into the world, it was on the ground of rebellion. When Adam disobeyed God, that was when curse was introduced into creation. You realize that because the serpent yielded itself to Satan to be used as a vessel, the curse that was pronounced on the serpent because of what the serpent did, where did the impact of the curse fall? On the person of the serpent, isn't it? Are we together? When the curse was pronounced on Eve for her rebellion in yielding to the serpent, where did the impact of the curse fall? On who? On Eve, on her sin. But when God was going to pronounce the judgment of the curse on Adam because of his rebellion, where did the impact of the curse fall? Was it on his person? No. It was on the land. That is how terrible the dynamic of curse is. If you are an authority figure and you commit a violation that unleashes a curse, it's not just going to be on you. Most times, it's as though you are even spared. It is your sphere of influence that the curse falls upon. Do you realize that when Ham, was it Ham or Shem, who looked upon the nakedness of his father? It was Ham. When Ham looked on the nakedness of his father and Noah decided to release a curse, who did the curse fall on? It was his son, Canaan, not even on the person that committed the crime. When David counted Israel and God was going to bring judgment, who did the judgment fall on? It was his people. Nothing happened to him. When an authority figure commits a violation, it's more devastating. And you see that the major channel through which a curse can be introduced into the life of an individual, into the life of a community, the first channel is the channel of iniquity. The channel of iniquity. Our father in the Lord, Apostle Aram Elsai, once defined iniquity as a sin that is committed intentionally, knowingly. You know this thing is evil. You know this thing is wrong. But you still went ahead to engage your will in defiance to the will of God. That is an act of iniquity. The reason why a curse came on creation is because Adam engaged his will against the will of God. That's an act of iniquity. It's not a mistake. It's not a slip. He didn't just fall into the error. He was awake and aware. He walked into it intentionally. In the New Testament, the Bible says it was Eve that was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He knew the full implication of what he was doing. But he still went ahead nonetheless. And that's the reason why the impact of the judgment was that severe. He said, cursed be the ground because of you. Creation came under a curse. Because what Adam did was an act of iniquity. He used his will in direct confrontation and defiance of God's command. And this is something that happens today. The unfortunate thing is, it has become normalized. People carry out acts of extreme iniquity with so much confidence. They are so relaxed. It's so normal. And the one that even happened in the church is, it's so heinous. Towards the end of last year, I saw some story on the social media. I was so alarmed, I didn't know how to feel about it. It was so disturbing, so much that blatant iniquity has become so normal that even people's ordinary human common sense have been shut down. Iniquity have been spiritualized. Let me read one for you quickly. This one was on Facebook, on somebody's wall. I saw it. Now, obviously, this is a response to someone else's comment. Somebody commented on an immoral act that a particular pastor was covering with a prophetic action cloak. You know, when a minister, a prophet, a preacher want to get a naive church person to commit sin, that sin, they normally wear it the garb of prophetic action. Are you with me? Like when that preacher got his members to go and eat grass. What was that? Prophetic action. Isn't it? Now, let me read this one to you. This one, somebody else by the name Ngozi had raised a bitter complaint. And then this person is trying to correct the Ngozi now. So, this goes, Madam Ngozi, I like you, but please do not put your mouth in things you have no understanding about. Let me tell you this. I am one of the women who benefited from sleeping with her pastor. Some pastors carry anointing. I was TTC woman. TTC here means trying to conceive woman. I was trying to conceive woman for 7 years. And I was introduced to a man who is my God on earth in form of my pastor. He changed my life and I am rejoicing today. I slept with him and he told me that my womb is opened. That when I get home, I should sleep with my husband. And I did. Today, I'm a mother. When I tried conceiving the second one, the enemy came again. And my pastor said, no worry. And we did it again. I went back home, slept with my husband, and today, I'm a mother of 2 wonderful kids. A boy and a girl. Should I continue? He said, please do not put mouth insulting any woman believing her God. That woman was just unlucky. She was caught. But her prayer would have been answered if they weren't interrupted. Now, where do you begin to process the extent of the damage that this man of God, so-called, had done to the psyche of this woman? This woman couldn't even think that that child is her pastor's child. If the thing worked, why didn't she go on giving birth? But she said the enemy struck again. So she had to go back to her man of God, and they did it again, and then they got a second child. Can you see how abhorring? These are the things that open the lives of people to a curse. When an authority figure now use their position to spiritualize and bend the minds of naive church people and lure them into acts of abomination. These are the things that open a curse in the life of an individual. Suddenly, strange things will begin to happen. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, 26. He said, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. You realize that curses fundamentally stands on the ground of iniquity. Curses, they fundamentally stand on the ground of iniquity. Now I want to give us an assignment. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 to the end. Please write this down. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 to verse 68. It's a lengthy reading. We cannot take this time to read it. But there is a comprehensive list of curses. The reason why I want you to go and read it is so that you will see the list of what the Bible calls a curse. If you notice any of it in your life, it means there is a curse. I've said that curses thrive longer when people are ignorant, when people are not aware of it. When people use natural explanation to wave them away, the curses will continue. Another thing you need to know about a curse is that curses can travel from one generation to the other unchallenged until an individual rises to terminate it. Curses don't just stop by themselves. They don't just stop on their own. You don't have a situation where a curse will travel to a point and then it becomes tired and then it stops and the next generation begin to lead normal life. It's impossible. Curses, the moment they show up, they want to remain perpetually. Curses must be brought to a halt. And the way to stop a curse is to destroy the grounding on which they stand. Another thing you need to know about curse is that curses are legitimate legal issues. They are a consequence of legal claims. So the way to deal with a curse is not a mindless, haphazard combat. No, that's not how you fight a curse. A curse is not a random thing. So you cannot engage a curse with a random prayer. Do you know why I'm saying this? The reason I'm saying this is because I know, because I perceive it in my heart. There are people listening to me now saying, but this cursed thing, well, I've been praying about it now. We will not be tired. How long will we keep praying about this curse? No. A curse is not a random thing. A curse stands on a legitimate ground. And once an issue is a legitimate issue that has claims, it's a court issue. It means you must follow it legally too. If there is a court ruling on you and it's unjust, whether you are angry or not, until it's dealt with in court, that case is still against you. If, for instance, someone takes you to court, I heard of cases that happen in some quarters where if a landlord wants to eject a tenant and they know that because of the tenancy law, they don't have an advantage against the tenant. What some very devious landlords do is, even before your rent is over, because in view of tenancy law, they can't come and evict you before the terms of your agreement are achieved. Are we following? So what some landlords do is, they will go and file a lawsuit against the tenant in court, and they will not let the tenant know. They will go and get one of their friends to stand and represent the tenant in court. And when the court session is going on, and they say you are guilty, that man's friend representing you, who is the tenant, will say, yes, I plead guilty. They will make the ruling, judge the case complete, seal everything up, and then pass the judgment, and then decree that your property should be thrown out. Then you will be at home one afternoon, and then you see the police with people from the court. They will come and throw you out. When they throw you out, they are leveraging on the ground that when you think about the stress, you will just give it up and go and start looking for another house. That's what Satan do to a lot of people. Many of us have adaptive capacity that is not of God. Many of us have accepted conditions of life. And demons even came to whisper to us that this is dealing, whereas this is an unjust ruling against you in the realm of the spirit, working against your life. And you have accepted it. And you have adjusted yourself to it. And you are enduring it. And you don't know that it's a legal issue against you. And you just embrace it like that. You just pray a casual prayer, or you pray a fire prayer, and then if it's a legal issue, it must be settled in court. If you meet that kind of landlord in the street and you quarrel and shout and insult and fight, it will not change anything, because it has not yet been changed in court. A legal issue must be dealt with from a legal angle. You must take that issue to court. Are we together? That is why when we are dealing with a curse, it's not a random prayer. It's a prayer we engage intentionally. And we need to know the laws so that when we take this issue to court, we can address them with purpose of heart. So that, I hope you also know, for many legal cases, you can even win a case in court and your adversary will still come to harass you on the street. Are you with me? A ruling can be given you, a judgment can be given you, but that doesn't mean the adversary will behave right and respect it. They may still come to intimidate you. And if you are not careful, in your mind, you'll be thinking that maybe this thing is not yet dealt with. No, if it's dealt with, it's dealt with. All you need to do is to enforce the ruling from court. Are you with me? A judgment can be given you in court, for example, that your adversary must pay you such and such an amount. And after you go back home, after the deadline they gave the adversary has passed, the adversary can decide not to pay. The fact that you were given the ruling from court does not mean the adversary will comply. That's why we have executioners, people that execute the law. And that is why in Psalm 1, is it 148? Give me that passage that says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and the two-edged sword in your hand. Quickly. Psalm 149, yes. He said, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Okay, give me from verse 5. He said, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Can we read this together? I want to go. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Do you realize that there were judgments that have been written on account of the death of Jesus on the cross? The judgment has already been passed. The sentence is passed. But why are these kings, these principalities, these rulers, these nobles, why are they still oppressing you? You have not arisen to execute this judgment. He said, this honor have all his saints. Jesus have paid. It is now your privilege to execute what Jesus paid for. So, when you engage this kind of prayer, it's not a random, mindless prayer. Every course of my life. No. You must sit down. Identify the particular cause. Then you are going to apply the law to it. We pray a lot. But the kind of prayer we pray doesn't have the commensurate response it deserves. Why? Most of our prayer is mindless. We don't sit down to analyze the things we really want to deal with. We don't have the confidence to know the provisions of the law that apply in those areas of our life and insist on it until it's knocked down. We don't know how to tell the difference between a case that has been ruled in our favor and an enemy who is just trying to intimidate, checking to see if you are sure of the prayer you are praying. Because many times we behave like puppy dogs. A puppy dog will go, go. When you get closer to the dog is running back. The enemy is checking to see whether you are bold, whether you are sure of what you are demanding. So the more you pray, the more he harass you. The more you pray, the more he intimidates you. And then you feel, this prayer, is it really working? It's just like when you are saying, in Jesus' name, the thing is pressing you more. In Jesus, is pressing you more. And then you say, maybe this thing is not working. No. It's a legal issue. There is a judgment that has already been written. And tonight, I'd like for us to rise up. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Can we rise up tonight? I'd like us to engage some prayers. We are going to go further tomorrow, but for this much, I'd like us to pray about some issues in our lives. Probably after you have done the assignment, you'll be able to articulately chronicle the appearances of curses in your life. You have to write it out in particular, and we are going to be dealing with them individually. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus has paid for any kind of curse that may be finding expression in your life. Tonight, can we lift our voice tonight and begin to pray? I don't know what you have identified in your life that had been a lingering issue. Is there a supernatural experience you are having? Is there a particular thing that is occurring and reoccurring in your life? A negative pattern that defies explanation, that keeps repeating itself. It usually looks like coincidence, but it just keeps happening. It just keeps repeating. It might be a curse. Can you lift your voice tonight and begin to address that issue in your life? It might be a pattern of near success syndrome. When something begins to favor people and everybody is enjoying it, when it's your turn, the thing will just finish. You can be on a long queue. When it gets to your turn, the thing that will close it. It could be a source of a business that is yielding so much profit. Everybody goes into it, they are doing well. The moment you step into it, the market will crash. A curse is a negative pattern. A pattern of misfortune. A pattern of disfavor. And it will want to be presented in a way you can explain. You can give a logical explanation to it. You can say why the thing didn't work out for you. There might be a force behind it. Can you engage it with prayer tonight? Curses thrive stronger when they are ignored, when they are denied, when they are wished away. Can you lift your voice tonight and address that issue? That stubborn issue in your life that you have lived with for so long that you have adjusted yourself to it. Tonight, can you present the blood of Jesus? Can you present the blood of Jesus? He said, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. Cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus took away our curses. Can you bring that matter to court tonight? He said, let's come boldly to the throne of grace. That throne of grace is a throne of judgment. It's a place you can present your case and you will obtain mercy. You can obtain mercy in that courtroom tonight. God wants to deal with curses in our lives in this season. Have you noticed a pattern that is not in line with God's ordination for you? You want to address it tonight. You want to deal with it tonight. Aleko baralata. Ekando baralata yanat. Shandala baratalia das kalabrega de gele baragados. Ratike pahala bados. Shaba babalanta labrega de gele baragados. Ekanda labarato labaragaya das. Ratando baranta labrega de gele baragalabados. Can you address that issue tonight? Manda baragala baragalaba. Rapa papa papa balat. Rapa papa papa baragados. Rapa papa baragadagala baragash. Lato kopahala yadash. Lanto baratele barata. Lanta la baragadagala baragalabados. Lanto la baragadagala baragalabados.
Shandala baragadagala baragalabarush. Balipi pahalayananta. Ekando borantalyananta. Ilabarabadabadabalabadush. Ilabarabadabalabarabalabalabadush. Ilabaragadagalabaragalabalabadush. You must be specific if your prayer will have power on a curse. Can you present that specific issue in your life? When you are dealing with a curse, you cannot generalize the prayer. You must mention that thing and address it. You must mention that thing and take it to court. He said to execute the judgment written. Can you rise up tonight and begin to execute judgment on any manifestation of a curse, of a negative pattern in your life? It is your right. It is your privilege. He said this honor has all his saints. He said to bind their chains, their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters. Is there a spirit that has been released against your destiny, creating misfortune, creating disfavor? Can you bind that prince? Can you bind that noble tonight? Can you pray tonight? Let the curse break. Let the curse break. Let the curse break. In the name of Jesus, let the curse break. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Curses are very subtle. Sometimes it will take the grace of God for you to identify when a curse is in operation. As we continue in this study, you will realize that a curse can make you carry out a kind of attitude that makes things work against you. And if you don't know, you will be giving excuses for those attitudes. And you may not know that it's actually a curse working against you. And that attitude creates disfavor for you. Whereas you are praying and praying and praying about that situation. But you don't know that there is a curse in your life that makes you demonstrate a particular kind of attitude. And every time your season of breakthrough comes, you will manifest that attitude and you will lose that season. And you are back in the old cycle. For some persons, having delays in getting married, this is one of the ways I have noticed that the curse works. The moment God opens the window of marriage for them, at the very nick of time, they will begin to put up a kind of attitude. And they will sustain that attitude until that marriage window is destroyed. Whereas normally they don't even live like that. They don't behave like that. But if you check 1, 2, 3, 4 relationships that you engaged in and you failed, and it failed, it's because there is that particular attitude that you will demonstrate. And usually you have a logical explanation for it. It will always look like the person will do something you don't like. And then because you don't like that thing they did, you will get angry and you will hold on to that thing until that relationship gets destroyed. And you have not realized that it's a curse. That's a cause for you to self-destruct every marriage opportunity that God brings your way. You will just pick on that issue. You will pick on it. You will hold it. You will hold it. You will hold it until everything scatters. I'm actually talking about somebody. And you may not know that it's a curse. On a normal day, it's not actually something that you do. But you have noticed that it always shows up in different ways, but it's the same pattern. It's a curse. What strengthens a curse is when they find a rational explanation for you to protect and pamper them. Then the curse becomes established. But deliverance comes your way tonight. I'd like you to pray finally. That any curse that is leveraging on my attitude, that is using my reasoning, that is giving me a good reason to support and protect it, and not be aware that it's actually a curse I am protecting, and it's bringing me this favor, can you present it to the Lord tonight? That any curse that is making you to give a good explanation. Say, nobody can talk to me like that. Nobody can treat me like that. I would rather forget about what you want to do to help me. I would rather give it up. I can't be insulted. You may not know that it's a curse of disfavor. It's a curse of disfavor. It comes to plunder your harvest. Can you pray for yourself this night? Any curse leveraging my attitude to destroy my harvest. Oh God, tonight, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. 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 Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. Let it be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Shababalata. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so, Lord, tonight, we come before you and I ask that you look upon your people. Anyone laboring under any form of curse tonight, Lord, I ask, by the speakings of the blood of Jesus, let that curse break in the name of Jesus. Whatever form the curse had taken to linger in their life, I present the argument of the blood of Jesus. Tonight, I command that curse to break in the name of Jesus. Curses of delays. Curses that bodily infirmity leverage on. Curses of misfortunes. Curses of negative cycles of defeats. Tonight I present the blood of Jesus and I command them to break in the name of Jesus. Father, let there be a sign from tonight. Father, let there be a sign from tonight. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Want to take the next 20 minutes to pray for our brethren online. If the technical people can help us. Those that have been able to connect the Zoom link. You can bring them up as we take each of the cases. And also for those we began to pray for from the beginning of the week when our Father was still present, all the issues we have been praying for, those with testimonies, you will also do well to share with the brethren as we stand with you in prayers. Can we have the first person tonight? All right, you can unmute your mic and go ahead, sir. Yes, we can see you. You just
unmute. Oh, yeah.
You just give us your name and where you're speaking from.
My name is Emmanuel Sam. I'm speaking from Massachusetts, USA.
Okay.
But for me, it's like almost about going back to Nigeria every time in my old house, in my old house, in my house in Nigeria. And every time I walk, it's like I can't really see anything I did with the money that I work for and everything. So and all the dreams of, you know, going back to old houses and all sorts of dreams like that. So
when was the last time you had the dream?
Going back to my house in Nigeria, it was almost like every time. Even though, because I joined the house in North America, so I'm always even praying, but I still always dream about them every time. So,
all right.
Yeah.
As the study goes on, you are going to, there are a number of insights that are going to come, and along the way we are going to have this issue addressed. But tonight we are going to pray for you. When you begin to see such negative patterns, they are not random coincidences. They are manipulations that are being supervised by intelligent persons directly behind it, who are enforcing it. Can the church rise up tonight as we stretch our hands towards a brother? This is actually a curse of backwardness that insists on binding you and taking you back. Can we lift our voice as we stretch our hands towards our brother tonight? Let that curse break. By the blood of Jesus, let that curse break. Can we present the legal claims of the blood of Jesus? The speakings of the blood of Jesus. Whatever debt owed, whatever is used as a legal ground, the blood had paid for all trespasses. The blood paid for all transgressions. The blood paid for everything. And so can we destroy that argument tonight? That argument that contends to take him back, to keep him limited. Can we execute that judgment? That is the honor of the saints. Can we execute that judgment? Can we judge that spirit of limitation? We address you tonight. We break your hold over our brother. We set him free. We cut him loose. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We may be seated. Can we have the next person? Yes, go ahead, sir. Your name and where you're speaking from.
My name is from Ghana.
All right, can we rise up as we present our brother Ebenezer before the Lord? Now, please listen. Remember, when you are dealing with a curse, You don't pray random general prayer. You mention the case in particular. This is a case of what? He did mention delay, but what was the case he described? Rejection. So you must identify the cause and deal with it specifically. Now, can we lift our voice as we stretch our hands towards our brother? The cause of rejection. That thing that makes him look unpleasant. The cause of disfavor that brings delay. Tonight, we judge you by the blood of Jesus. We judge you by the blood of Jesus. We break your hold. We break your hold. We cut off your hands over the life of Ebenezer. Tonight we set him free in the name of Jesus. We set him free in the name of Jesus. Tonight we declare that you are the favored of the Lord. We pronounce you as the blessed of the Lord. We place the name of the Lord upon you. We empower you to be favored. We empower you to be blessed. We pronounce supernatural speed upon your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated for a moment. Yes, you can go ahead, ma'am. Your name and where you are speaking from.
My name is Anushka. I'm looking for you from Kenya. My ladies do not get married. We are over like 10 who are 40 years and they're married. And there was an issue that seems that it's not coming through.
This is a chronic case of a curse of marital delay. This comes among the category of the cases that will require a prayer of inquiry. There might be a need to investigate what this curse is standing upon to bring such a terrible situation. Can the church rise up? Tonight we are going to pray for a sister from Kenya. You heard her case. Can we cry to the Lord and plead the blood of Jesus that whatever is behind this curse of marital delay, let the blood of Jesus speak in their favor. Let the blood of Jesus speak in their favor. Let it be swallowed up. Let it be swallowed up. Let that curse break. Let that curse break. Let that curse break. Let that mystery be exposed and let it be destroyed. Let that mystery be exposed and let it be destroyed. That curse that had lingered for so long, that had remained a mystery, let it be flushed out. Let it be exposed and let it be destroyed by the blood of Jesus. Let it be exposed and let it be destroyed by the blood of Jesus. We decree liberty. We decree freedom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We may be seated. Yes.
My name is Deborah. I'm from Ghana. My issue has to do with my time is by the grace of God. I know that it must put down.
Right? Still the same issue of marital delays. Can we rise up and pray for the family of our sister? The curse of marital delay in that family, let it break. Can we lift our voice as we stretch our hands towards her, bringing all her siblings before the Lord tonight? The curse of marital delay, can you lift your voice and command it to break? Let the mystery behind that curse be exposed and let it be destroyed. Let the mystery be exposed and let it be destroyed by the blood of Jesus. Let it be exposed, let it be destroyed. Let it be exposed, let it be destroyed. Let it be exposed and let it be destroyed by the blood of Jesus. We command you break. We command you be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let go of your captives. Let go of your captives. We declare their victory. We declare their liberty. We declare their freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We may be seated for one moment. Yes, your name and where you are speaking from.
Hi, my name is Patundo from South Africa. I have a problem that my family and I have been struggling to actually actualize anything, whether it's education, in business, marriage. So my parents have separated for about 10-12 years now, but they are not divorced. My dad has started a new family, and that has affected our ability to go to school, to get into business. Sometimes I would do a potential business deal and then it would fail just at the very edge of it being concluded. So there's been that pattern in my life. My siblings have no direction, no jobs. So it's a big matter like that.
Hallelujah. You see, there are some of these causes that they are undefined. They are just complex. Just create confusion. Nothing is working. Can we rise up tonight? This one we have to cry on the mercy and the sovereignty of God. Whatever is at the root of this reproach that brings confusion, it's confusion. If you look at the list in Deuteronomy, one of the characteristics of the curse is, the Bible calls it confusion of faces. That is the one that the curse doesn't have a name. It just brings confusion. Can we cry tonight? This curse of confusion. Can we cry? That the blood of Jesus, we speak for this family. The blood of Jesus, we speak sense into this family. It is a confusion of nonsense. That is a curse that doesn't have meaning. It doesn't make sense. Can we ask that the blood of Jesus will bring sense into this family? We bring meaning into this family. Let this confusion of darkness be exposed and destroyed. Let it be exposed and destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Let it be destroyed. Father, we call upon you tonight. We ask that you step into this family. Bring meaning back into this family. Bring direction back into this family. Bring meaning back into this family. Malika Baralata Shababalata Elabarat Limbrazato Kopala Manto Labaralianto Enkababalaliatano Malabaranta Lambrezi Kabaya. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please, for those managing the platform, we would also like to take testimonies from those we have prayed for so far. Any of them that have testimonies, please, you would do well to bring them up to share their testimonies. You can go ahead, sir. Either testimony or prayer point, you can go ahead.
My own is a prayer point.
All right, you can go ahead, sir.
Your
name and where you are speaking from.
My name is Daniel Ofio. I'm calling from Canada. I've been having the issue of high blood pressure and kidney disease. My senior sister died of the same issue.
High blood pressure, and what's the second thing? Kidney.
High blood pressure, okay. And kidney disease.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
My senior sister died of that issue. My senior brother died of that same issue. I've been praying and fasting over this issue. Since the 40 days prayer fasting started, that is one of the prayers I've been on since that time up to now. I'm tired of the medication. I'm taking almost 4 different medications for high blood pressure. And I'm tired of the medication. I want to put a stop to that completely.
Can the church rise up? You can see a very particular case. This is a curse of an infirmity. When you see a curse like this, there is something engineering it. We are going to pray that whatever is the mystery behind this curse, let it be exposed. Let it be destroyed. Let healing come in the name of Jesus. Can you arrest this spirit of infirmity causing kidney disease, causing high blood pressure? Can you cry the blood of Jesus against this infirmity tonight? Let it be arrested in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and cry against this curse. We command you to break. We command you to break. We command you to break. We dry up this curse from its root. We cut your hand off this body. You spirit of infirmity, causing kidney disease, responsible for this blood pressure, we rebuke you tonight. We arrest you in the name of Jesus. We terminate your activity in this life. We bring an end to your oppression. We speak life to your body. We speak life to your blood. We speak life to your kidneys. Shababalanto kaparalati. Likamanto la bregadegele bereged. Can you pray tonight? Pray from your heart. Elando baba balabaragadash. Elabarati. Elabarati. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, we pronounce you be made whole. Be made whole. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we take the last one for tonight? You can go ahead, even though your image is blurred.
My name is Ralph. We're from China. This is my wife, Futendo. We have been battling with infertility. The doctor went to the doctors 2 years ago, and they've told us that I can't conceive due to undescended testicles. And we've been praying, and it's been difficult, but we believe in God. And also, business has been down since we started business in 2010, near success syndrome. Every time we have a deal, it doesn't come through. At the edge of breakthrough, we have so many contracts that we've signed, but nothing is fructified. And we believe after you've heard the sermon, all the indicators of curses, we have seen them, and we believe in God for total breakthrough and healing and delivery.
Can we rise up? We are going to arrest the operation of death. Death. Death in their body. Death in their business. You say, you will be blessed in your body. And you will be blessed in the field. Can we arrest the operation of death in this family? Death that brings infertility in their body. Death that brings infertility. Lack of productivity in business. Can you arrest the operation of death? Can you reverse it? Speak life into this family tonight. We arrest the operation of the curse of infertility and lack of productivity. We bind you tonight. We break your hold over the life of this family. We reverse your operation. We reverse your activity. We terminate your actions in these bodies in the name of Jesus. We speak life. 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 I like us to sing a song over them. I speak spirit and not just English. I speak life. I speak life. We speak spirit and not just English. We speak life. We speak. We sing spirit.
We speak spirit. And not just English.
We speak life. We speak. We sing spirit.
We sing spirit.
And not just English.
Life,
we speak spirit. tonight we declare that you receive your children in the name of Jesus. Tonight we decree that your business will begin to prosper in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. Can you celebrate Jesus?
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.